We welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you have your Bible at this time, I want you to take it and turn to the 51st Psalm. And we'll be reading that Psalm in just a moment. It fits right into the context of what we are now studying in the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're looking at an overview of David's life before we get into the Sunday school lesson itself about David, the poet king. And we'll be getting into that Sunday school lesson soon. But we've been talking about David as the shepherd boy and as the national hero and as the fugitive and then as the king. But while David was king, he sinned grievously against Jehovah, against Uriah, against Bathsheba, and against the little child that was born because of his adultery, and the little child died. It is a terrible time in David's life. Nathan the prophet came to David and told him that he was the man who had sinned. And David repented, and he sought the forgiveness of the Lord. And that's why we're going to read now, in just a moment, the 51st Psalm, and I will show you how fitting this psalm is to this event in David's life. So be turning to that psalm, and while you're doing so, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. We have been meeting as a Church of Christ in this location for over 100 years, and we invite you to come to some of our assemblies and see how we worship, because it is our aim and effort and desire to worship God after the ancient New Testament pattern. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's look at the 51st Psalm. You see, the 51st Psalm has an inscription. And by an inscription, I'm referring to those words that appeared just before the first verse of that psalm. And these inscriptions that we have are as old as the oldest copies we have of the psalms. Now, this inscription to the 51st Psalm says, "For the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba." Let me read this psalm. Psalm 51 and verse 1. And I'm reading from the American Standard Version. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done that which is evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me to know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be comforted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou delightest not in sacrifices, else I would give it. Thou hast no pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then wilt thou delight in the sacrifices of righteousness, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they will offer bullocks upon thine altar. So that is the 51st Psalm. Well, we continue to read about David in the 2 Samuel and in the first part of the book of 1 Kings. And David the king had a troubled time in his kingdom following his grievous sin, which was largely the consequences of his sin. We can get forgiveness of our sins. Oh, yes, that is true. But sometimes we still have to live with the consequences of those sins. But then David drew near death. And I think this is a very fitting passage and beautiful passage about David as he was dying. It is found in 1 Kings chapter 1. Or in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of Jehovah thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his ordinances, and his testimonies, according to all that is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that Jehovah may establish his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Well, there's a little more to David's life, but we won't read that now. Truly, David should be counted among one of the great men of the Old Testament. The Sunday school lesson we're looking at is written for May 13th, 1923. The title of the lesson is David the Poet King. And while there's not a lot in the lesson about David's poetry, David is the one that through the Spirit of God gave us many of the Psalms, and that is certainly poetic literature. The devotional reading for this Sunday school lesson fittingly comes from the Psalms. It is from the first Psalm. And let me read that to you from the American Standard Version. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Jehovah knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is, surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Jehovah forever. The 23rd Psalm and verse 6. Now, coming to Elam's notes, It's interesting here that as I read in this little Sunday school book that he's going to have a quotation from one he calls Brother Lipscomb. You see, E.A. Elam and David Lipscomb were brothers in Christ. And Elam highly regarded and respected David Lipscomb. David Lipscomb started a school in Nashville called the Nashville Bible School. And after David Lipscomb died, it was called David Lipscomb College. And for a while, E.A. Elam was the president of David Lipscomb College. And that college is now called the Lipscomb University. And it is far different from that little Nashville Bible school that David Lipscomb had begun in Nashville. And in some of the ways, it's sad that it is so far different. But E.A. Elam says that for an introduction, we cannot do better than to quote the following from Brother Lipscomb. So now you're going to have the words of David Lipscomb. God first selected Saul, a man of fine bodily appearance and great strength, and withal a brave and courageous man, modest and unassuming to begin with. He soon showed that he could not bear elevation. He became uplifted in heart, proud and presumptuous in spirit, and set aside the commandments of God and substituted what he thought was best. Next, God selected David, a man of strong faith and courage, and a man loyal to God in heart. No higher exhibits of faith and courage can be found than David gave on several occasions. Yet David, by his exaltation and power, was led into such sin that God said to him, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to wife," 2 Samuel 12 and verse 10. The course of David the king brought perpetual war and divided the children of Israel into two warring factions, making both a prey to the enemies of God. When David built the kingdom up in strength and power and brought present earthly greatness, he sowed the seeds of division and discord that brought weakness and destruction. It did not prepare the people to be a blessing to man, nor did it fit the children of Israel to receive the blessing of God. After David, and while the kingdom was yet united, God raised up Solomon, who was noted for his earthly wisdom and learning. He increased still the grandeur of the kingdom, but did not bring the people to worship God. On the contrary, by his example, he led them into idolatry and prepared them for the division and strife that followed. After Solomon's time, a nation divided against itself that could not stand lingered out in existence through the range of a number of kings, some good, some bad, some fitted to receive the blessing of God, others calling down his wrath, but as a whole leading Israel further and further from God, fitting it less and less to be a blessing to the world, until God, who had given Israel a king in his anger, took him away in his wrath. Hosea 13:9-11. Speaking of this, it says, "It is thy destruction, O Israel, that thou art against me, against thy help. Where now is the king that he may save thee in thy cities, and thy judges of whom thou saidest, 'Give me a king and princes'? I have given thee a king in mine anger, and have taken him away in my wrath." The kings brought Israel to ruin. None of them did more toward this than David and Solomon, who, while they brought the nation to the highest point of earthly power and greatness, sowed the seeds of discord and destruction. The kingly power lasted in Israel from about B.C. 1100 until about B.C. 400, about 700 years. But they were no better fitted for being a blessing of God are being a blessing to the world at the close of the ministry of the kings than they were at the beginning.